Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Window World is the number one window replacement company in Texas. Get a free estimate from Window World at 866-WIND-189.
Let's lock it up with Landry in the locker room.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Presented by Consolidated Communications.
Lock it up.
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I don't think it's too early for the Astros to make a statement. I know we're early in the season, but as they begin a series tonight, an eight-game road trip against AL West teams in Seattle, they're facing the hottest team in baseball, 12-2. Probably the most surprising team in baseball as well. And I know it's early. I know we're not even 10% through the season right now. But I think the Astros need to make a statement, and they need to humble the Seattle Mariners. Because we know the Astros are the most talented team in this division. We know the Astros are going to win the division. I want to see the Astros go out there and make a statement. I want them to take 2 out of 3 and humble the Seattle Mariners and let them know, yes, you're the hottest team in baseball. Yes, you have the best record in the game. Yes, you're on top of the AL West early on. But don't forget whose division this is. I want the Astros to go out there like my cousin used to do me on Thanksgiving and smack me around a little bit in the backyard when we're playing some football. That's what I want the Astros to do.
Yeah, we all had that big bully brother or cousin, didn't we? This is a really interesting series. Part of me thinks, okay, you know, just like when we were watching the Astros on the first road trip kind of struggle, everybody's like, calm down. It's not going to be like that. You kind of look at the Mariners the other way. What are they, 12-2?
Yes, 12-2.
Something like that.
12-2.
And you want to go, all right, calm down. You know, let's not everybody bleep each other's bleep just yet because they're not this good. On the other hand, they got some guys playing some ball right now. I mean, they're knocking the cover off the ball. They're getting every element of the game, pitching, defense, et cetera, going. And they're an all new different. They're all different team from last year. They contended last year for a while, and then they remade their club. Remade their club. They got rid of all their veteran guys. They got younger, newer guys, and they're even better, at least to start the season.
And this is the other thing about it is I know that we like to say, well, it's early in the season. It's early. But all the wins count the same.
Yeah,
winning
do.
12 out of 14 counts now just as much as it does in September. So I think the Astros need to make this statement. And we had James Ahedebo on, and we asked him if teams can make statements this early in the season. He kind of minimized it. But I think the Texans, if they would have gone on the road to start the season, when me and the Loopholes bet $10,000 on the game and lost, mm-hmm. and I came back to Houston with my tail between my legs, I think if the Texans would have been able to get over that hump, the hump that Bill O'Brien's never been over, beating
right.
the New England Patriots and starting the season off like that, I think it would have done a lot of things for the Texans' confidence. And I think that although that was the first game of the season, I think it would have been a huge mental hurdle, and I think maybe the season would have played out differently had they been able to do that. Now, in the big scheme of things, maybe they just weren't good enough to do that, which I think we all agree with, despite what I thought originally. But I think that win would have done a lot for the Texans.
I think it's almost case by case. I don't want to cop out here. But I think there are some early season statements that vault a team to great things, you know? And then there are some that are just another win. They seem big at the time, but it proves to be just another win. I'm trying to think of a real good example. Probably the best one off the top of my head is the Rockets sweeping the Warriors in the regular season. Now, maybe that got them going the rest of the regular season after they got rid of Carmelo and it got them to where they are now.
Well,
they lost one, right, exactly.
They lost one. They won the first three.
Right, they won the first three. Maybe that's what I was talking about. But it doesn't mean squat now, and they know it because the bigger element is the Warriors have beaten you. You know what I mean? When it counts the most. So that might not be the best example. But I think that in the Texans' case last year, had they beaten the Patriots, that would have really, really vaulted them, I think. Because that's an albatross that has been there a long time on their backs.
Also, the Rockets, I think they made a statement earlier this year because a lot of times, you know, we see it with the Texans. We haven't seen it with the Astros. But a lot of times when you draft somebody, or you bring someone in and you put your chest out there and you try to slam your coconuts on the table, a lot of times it's hard for a front office guy or an executive to admit that he was wrong. And a lot of times it drags out more than it should. See Bill O'Brien with Tyler Irvin. See Bill O'Brien with Tom Savage. See Bill O'Brien with Braxton Miller. You see it quite often. Daryl Morey tried to slam his coconuts on the table and bring in Carmelo Anthony, despite the fact your head coach Mike D'Antoni had a bad history with him. Your assistant coach Jeff Bizdelic, who coincidentally wasn't with the team until Melo was out the door. You can read between the lines there.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact they had rough histories with him, he brought him in, and I think it was stupid at the time. I think it looks even dumber now. But I got to give Daryl Morey some props with the statement that he made in punting on that sooner rather than later, because who knows how bad things could have gotten if you would have just let the Melo stuff linger longer in the season. I think that was a statement that Daryl Morey made. Okay, I made a mistake. It's time to go all in. I'm going to bring in some other guys. I'm going to make up for it. That statement early on has the Rockets, before the other night, playing some pretty good basketball as we head into the playoffs.
Yeah, no. You're right. But also, you know, the statement they made with the Golden State Warriors starting out 3-0 against them, I think that helped as well. I think they all of a sudden realized, you know, because what they did when they got rid of Carmelo is say, James, especially when Paul wasn't around, let's see how many games we can win when James Harden just scores and has the ball all he wants. You know, and it works.
With Capella.
Is it going to work in the postseason against the Jazz? Probably long term. I think the Rockets will win it in six. On the road, which would be sweet, winning in Utah in game six.
It'd be tough.
But this is not an easy series.
No, it's not.
People forget about it, man.
People forget. That was a five-game dogfight last year. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and these are a couple things that I think you need to look at when you're looking at the Jazz versus the Rockets. Number one, Ricky Rubio didn't play last year. Mm-hmm. He was out for the series. And the Rockets, as good as they are offensively in the backcourt, and I know James Harden's defense has improved, they're not very good defensively. And Donovan Mitchell was having to do a lot of things.
And he missed the last game, didn't he?
No.
Or he was hurt?
He was hobbled.
Yeah.
But Donovan Mitchell, he had to do a lot more things that Ricky Rubio typically does as far as facilitating the offense. So I think with Rubio there and Donovan Mitchell, I think that's one thing to keep an eye on with the Houston Rockets. Also, this is something you mentioned earlier on, John. Clint Capella in some of the Rockets' losses recently, specifically to the Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. And to the Nets, I guess, with Valanciunas. He's been bullied by some elite centers. He got the best of Rudy Gobert last year, but Rudy Gobert is a damn good center. If Rudy Gobert bullies Clint Capella like he did with DeMarcus Cousins and Valanciunas, the way in which he got bullied, look out. This series is going to – I know a lot of people are kind of just looking past Utah. This thing could get really interesting.
And Derek Favors as well, who's missed the last week.
Down there on the block.
Missed some of them, some games in the last week with some back spasms, but you got to figure that they're ironing that out. He's a big inside presence as well, so that's going to be tough inside for the Rockets. Now, they have the outside game. I know Mitchell's good, and they have who's the other guard they have? I can't remember.
Ingles.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot tougher than you think. When you said it was a five-game dogfight, I totally agree. That sounds like an oxymoron, but if you watch that series, it really was.
Yeah, and nobody wants to go to Utah. I know you've covered some Utah games. Just how nasty is it there? Is it as bad as people say?
Tell me a story, OG.
Tell me a story.
The biggest way I can describe it is that they get very personal there. When I saw the stuff that happened this year and the owner had to apologize with Westbrook, I was not surprised in the least bit.
Weren't shocked at all?
Like none. Now, I'm not saying I've heard those exact things said, but I've heard, you know, in that neighborhood and keep in mind, this is late 80s into the 90s when I was really covering a lot of games there.
Damn.
Into the early 2000s.
Stockton, Malone.
All that stuff.
Russell.
There's some vicious fans there. Those good old Mormons, man. They got a dark side.
Do they?
Apparently in basketball, when it comes to basketball, they do.
And when your owner has to come out and basically give you a kindergarten-style lecture before
mm-hmm.
a game,
mm-hmm.
you know that you got a little bit of problems. What are the nastiest places you've ever been to? It doesn't get worse than Utah, but in your 30 years covering sports, where have you seen it the nastiest? I know you said Warren Moon used to get it pretty bad.
Warren Moon used to get it here from his own fans. That was memorable.
Racist stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The places I felt most uncomfortable Raiders games. Every time I was leaving the stadium at a Raiders game, I'm seriously, your head's on a swivel. It's tough there. It's real, real tough there. A lot of international games that I've covered, like soccer games, getting on a train with some crazy ticked off fans that, and you're clearly a foreigner. I've done that a few times. That's a little scary. I got caught in the crossfire of a fight between English and I forget what other country fans, and just kind of ducked out on there. But in terms of like fans here, Raiders, Jazz, some college football, it gets real vicious. The most uncomfortable I felt in a college football game was at Arkansas. I mean,
they wouldn't even fill up my pop's gas when he used to go to games in the Southwest Conference. When they'd play Texas, dude. If you have them Texas plates, because that was back in the day, I'm sure you remember this, when people used to fill up your gas for you.
Yeah.
You drive into Arkansas as you approach Fayetteville. I know Sterner knows this. Sterner knows how nasty they can get there. Mm-hmm. Hot Fudge knows.
Definitely Sterner's my hero.
They will He's not my hero too. Fill up your gas. At that time, they would not pump it. They would say, get the hell out of here.
The only time I've ever had stuff thrown at me, well, I've been hit by things thrown at the field, was at Arkansas at least twice, maybe three times. It was a regular occurrence there.
Especially when it's in Fayetteville, man.
Texas Tech.
I've witnessed that firsthand. Tech fans, and we're obviously not talking about all. No. When we do this, we're talking about the extreme worst example.
Our experience.
And the extreme worst example. Tech fans,
Miami,
man,
Florida State. Miami, Florida State, I got hit by a couple things.
I went to a game at Florida State against Miami.
This one was at Miami.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was tough.
Dade County. Shout out to the 305.
Boy.
Shout out to the 305.
And Michigan, Notre Dame once.
How was
that? No. Notre Dame, Miami. Catholics versus convicts. I did that game.
There was some racial tension there, wasn't there?
That's what it was all about. People, I mean, it was kind of unspoken, but it was like, yeah, those players from Miami versus our players that are Notre Dame, you know, choir boys. Sean Pendergast tell you all about it, man. It was rough. I think he was a student there. I was a young reporter. I think he was a student there still. Catholics versus convicts was no joke.
They couldn't do that these days.
No joke.
They couldn't do that these days, could they?
Plus, the players got away with more then. I'm talking about just everything, just the personal fouls to the way they dress, you know, to the way they act toward fans, you know. There wasn't a lot of camera phones, you know what I mean?
the nastiest fans that, and again, we're talking about the extreme worst, so I have a lot of good people that I know, mm-hmm. but the nastiest of the nasty, because you know I've been to every Big 12 stadium. I'm Mr. Big 12,
mm-hmm.
TCU.
I believe that.
TCU, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, TCU. At its worst, and I'm just talking about at its worst, TCU is very nasty.
Somebody texted Lopez, talk about the Buffalo Bills fan story again. That was actually one of my better experiences. Now, they're
rough.
Tell
me a story, OG.
You got it. The Buffalo Bills fans are notorious. We know that. My experience there was awesome. I was an idiot. You know, that was the coldest game in Buffalo Bills history.
You lost your key, right?
Just my luck. The coldest game in Buffalo Bills history. I'm at it.
That's cold.
That's cold. I think the wind chill was minus 65 or something like that. Minus 45. Something.
God.
It was ridiculous. I mean, they were. This is how bad it was. They were warning people on the local news. I'm sitting there at the Marriott Hotel up in Buffalo, New York, getting ready to go to the game. Turn on the TV, and the local news in Buffalo, New York is telling people not to go outside. And they play a football game outside. It was that freaking cold.
Hell no.
Dude, they have games where they pay fans in tickets to shovel snow.
Yeah.
Seems like they have one of those a year in Buffalo.
Yeah. And so it was Raiders and the Bills crushed them. And like an amateur, you know, dude from Houston, even though I traveled a lot in cold weather, I stuck my key in the door of my rent car, turned the key, and it snapped in two. It just snapped clean in two. So everybody is leaving the stadium, and I have to get Avis Rent-A-Car to get into the parking lot to help me out with a new key.
Should have gone Hertz with OJ, you weasel.
You're in they would have had to do the same thing.
That's OJ City. How are you going to go to Buffalo and not use Hertz?
Well, that's true. But they would have
that's
had
karma.
To do the same thing. So there's a bunch of Buffalo Bills fans, you know, post-game tailgating with me. These dudes about 50 feet away from me had a big bonfire going. And so I just meander over there while I'm waiting, and they couldn't have been nicer. And they give me, we killed like a bottle of schnapps.
What year was this?
It was Raiders Bills playoffs.
So it was a long time
probably
ago.
Probably 94.
You know what I remember about those cold games? Because they had some epically cold ones. This is when the Bills went to four straight Super Bowls, right? It was during that time, right?
Yes, absolutely. That was in that time.
You know what I remember about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thurman Thomas never wore sleeves,
right?
Regardless of how cold it got, which made me think he was a crazy SOB. And Daryl Talley always wore that Spider-Man undershirt. He had like a Spider-Man type undershirt. That's the thing I remember about that. But damn, dude.
Here it is right here.
Was this before cell phones?
It was at the cusp of the big brick cell phones.
We talk about there's some bad stuff that comes with cell phones. Wow, you're showing me highlights of that. I don't think people can see that. Damn,
1993.
Dude, they look miserable.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable.
Look at them. They're blowing the smoke out there. Jim Kelly can't even contain himself.
It was the coldest game in Buffalo Bill, at least to that point.
Jim Kelly's wearing a jacket on the sidelines. Jeff Hostetler was the quarterback of the Raiders. I know this isn't good radio.
And I broke my key off in the parking lot.
Dude, that's miserable. All the refs are wearing the hats.
It was so freaking cold.
It's insane. Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. Thank God we live in Houston where we don't have to deal with that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.